I'd like you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And last week we began a series simply called The Pursuit of God. And I know that A.W. Tozer wrote a book about that, but it's not based on his book. Last week I just had this phrase come to me when I woke up, and it was just the pursuit of God. Amen? How many are in hot pursuit of God? How many are chasing after God? How many are seeking God? You know, what happens when you seek God? You find him. Well, I haven't found him. Well, you haven't been seeking enough. Amen. Don't stop seeking. Because the Bible said, seek and you shall find. That's the truth that the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, he says, but O man of God, flee these things. He told us some things that we should flee, but then he said, follow after. And I want you to notice that phrase, follow after. This is the King James. That phrase, follow after, also means to pursue. Okay? Because when you're pursuing something, you are following after it. You are chasing it. You are searching for it. You have an interest. Amen? And he said, pursue, follow after righteousness. Aren't you glad that you can follow righteousness? Yes, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but then once we become the righteousness, we've got to follow after it. We've got to pursue it. We've got to make it a reality in our life. We've got to live right. We've got to do right. Pursue godliness, faith, love, patience. Did you know that we're supposed to follow after patience? Meekness. And this helps us to fight the good fight of faith. Well, what does it mean to pursue? Of course, it means to follow after. It means to ensue. It means to press forward. Aren't you glad that there are some things that we can press into? God's got some things that are available to us, but we won't get them unless we press into them. Amen. This is not like an automatic door when you go to the store. This is a store that you got to put your hands on and you've got to press in. And when you press it, when you put pressure, like the door's here, when you put pressure on those doors, what do? They open up. And it opens up to something bigger. And when you press into the things of God, you'll never get to the bottom. Amen? And so let me just, I asked these questions last week, but I'm going to reiterate these. You don't have to give me an answer, but just think about these, all right? These are just some, do you thirst after God? I mean, when you're thirsty, what do? You get, because we're not living in a desert. So do you thirst after God? Are you eager to understand and implement his ways? Are you eager to understand? We can understand God's ways. The Bible says we can let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the same mind that was in Christ is in us? Which is really, the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. And I could give you scriptures for that, but that's not my message tonight. Do you want to share the love that God has for sinners? You know, there's a love that he has. And maybe you're angry at people. Maybe you've been hurt by people and you need to love them like God loves them. Well, it's going to take you to pursue that. You're going to have to go after God to get his love and let his love be burning on the inside of you. Do you have a deep capacity for God or a shallow capacity for God? Would you rather take a shower with a cup or a bucket? Amen? Well, your capacity is up to you. If you want a greater capacity, you can have a greater capacity. All right? And the reason that we pursue God is because we want to experience his pleasure and his goodness of his divine presence. I'm telling you, God can do for you what no one else, what nothing else can do for you. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy you like God can. There is nothing that can touch you or make you feel as good as God can. Thank God for the experiences that you've had, but how many, you know, that there's some more experiences that you can have. You're not limited, you know, just because you've had an experience of God doesn't mean you can't have another one. Amen? So let's keep pursuing God. Let's keep running after him. The pursuit of God begins at the new birth. That's when you become, that's when you realize all that's been given to you. And the pursuit of God continues until you're promoted from earth to heaven. Amen? We're going to be pursuing this until Jesus comes again. So this is a lifelong journey. So pace yourself. You're in a marathon. This is not a sprint. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you some things to pursue, and we're going to break them down. You need to pursue love. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Love is a worthy pursuit. God is love, isn't he? So when you're pursuing love, you're pursuing God. And if your love is malfunctioning, so is your faith. If your love is not working, your faith isn't working either. What is the greatest commandment? Well, wouldn't something that's the greatest be a worthy pursuit? If Jesus said love is the greatest commandment, and he tells us to go after love, that's a worthy pursuit. So we got to pursue love. Did you know that you can pursue what is good? God is good. Say, God is good. Say, God is good to me. So we can pursue what is good. Listen, God wants some good things for you. He's got a good work for you to do. He has good plans to prosper you. But they're not automatic. If they were, we'd all be walking in all of them. Isn't that the truth? So we got to pursue what is good. I'll just give you one scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:15. It says, pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. And then the Bible tells us to pursue righteousness. We read it here, 1 Timothy 6:11. You've got to pursue a right lifestyle. How many know there is a right and there is a wrong? God's way is right. Man's way is wrong. The world's way is wrong. We got to pursue righteousness. Go after righteousness. And then you can pursue peace. The Bible said to seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. Chase it. And then last week we spent some time talking about pursuing rewards. Aren't you glad that our God is a rewarder? What do you get rewarded for? Obedience. What else? Giving? Absolutely. God's got rewards. But in order to get those rewards, you got to follow his rules. Who is Lord? Jesus is Lord. That means he has the right to tell you what to do, where to go, and who to be. When you accepted Christ, you made him Lord. He didn't force his lordship on you. He offered it to you as a gift. And when we accepted Christ, he is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of your finances. He's the Lord of your relationships. He's the Lord of your career. I heard a preacher the other day. He was saying how he put in his application to be chief of police in Maryland. And as his application was being processed, God said, I didn't call you to that. He's a pastor now. I'm so glad that he didn't become chief of police. Not that being a chief of police is bad, but that wasn't God's plan for him. I'll tell you what, you'll never be as happy doing anybody else's plan other than God's. When you do God's plan, you'll be the happiest person on this planet. I want to look at pursuing righteousness for just a moment, all right? And you know, when you pursue something, you're taking an aim at something, all right? Go to Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. Notice what it says here. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness? How do you get righteousness? Do you get righteousness from the law? Like, if we did everything the law said that we should do, would we become righteous? Absolutely not. If we could become righteous by doing the law, we would never need a Savior. The law was designed in that no one could do everything the law says. You know, the Bible teaches us that the law is our schoolmaster. It simply shows us that we had a sin nature, and there's nothing that we could do to change our sin nature. Someone had to do it for us. And thank God Jesus came. He took our place. He took our punishment. And he died on the cross. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. And because of that, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when you are righteous, which means you have right standing with God, you have a right relationship with God, you are rightly aligned with God, amen? And you don't have to worry about winning arguments because you're righteous. You know, people want to win arguments to prove that they're right, amen? Look at verse 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith. If you're following the law, you're not living by faith. Okay? And righteousness comes to us by faith. But as it were, the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Who was the first one to become righteous that we still have a covenant with today? Abraham. He obeyed God, right? He believed God, the Bible says, and it was accounted unto him. In other words, because of his belief, because of his faith, God took righteousness and put it into Abraham's account. And he did it by faith. There was a transaction that occurred by faith. Abraham was not perfect. Abraham made mistakes. But he became righteous simply by believing God. How are you going to become righteous? By believing God. We become righteous the same way that Abraham did. You can't earn it. We certainly didn't deserve it. But by faith, by putting our faith and trust in Christ alone, we now become righteous. And righteousness is a worthy pursuit. It is acceptable to God. God loves the righteous. You could read throughout the Bible to see how many blessings the righteous get. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. The righteous will be delivered from evil. God blesses the righteous. God loves righteousness. So, we have to make righteousness now our aim and our goal. And it has to be the way we live. It has to be the way we treat people. What's the law of righteousness? The law of righteousness is love. God loved you. And we love God. And therefore we become the righteousness of God. And it's a worthy pursuit. We're supposed to follow after righteousness. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. There's somewhere where we want to go tonight, and I just want to be sure that we get there. This, just consider this an hors d'oeuvre. The main course is coming. It's in the pot cooking, and it smells really good. And I can't wait to get into it. Proverbs 21 and verse 21. He that follows after righteousness and mercy, what do they get? Life, what else? And what else? How many want life, righteousness, and honor? Well, in order to get life, righteousness, and honor, you're going to have to follow after righteousness. Who's our example of righteousness? That means you got to follow Christ. You got to do what Jesus said. Listen, Jesus and God were one. He was the Word made flesh. If you want to follow after Christ, you're going to have to get in this book. And you're going to have to get it into your heart. You can't just have this book in your head. Having it in your head is not enough. You got to get this into your heart. How many ate something today? What happened to that food that you ate? Where did it go? It became a part of you. See, now, the process of digestion spiritually is when you hear the Word of God and you meditate on it and you think about it, all of a sudden it becomes a part of you. And when the Word of God is becoming, when it gets into your heart, then power is released. Power is not released from your head, it's released when the Word gets into your heart. Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you pursue righteousness, you're going to get righteousness, life, and honor. God honors the righteous. According to the Bible, good men finish last. I mean, first. You know, the world says good guys finish last, don't they? But that's not true. If God honors righteousness and you spend your life pursuing righteousness, then God's going to honor you and you're going to be first. Because God honors righteousness. And you got to make righteousness a pursuit. Go to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Righteousness is how you live. You've got to apply God's principles to your daily life. You've got to apply God's principles to the way you talk. Ephesians says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Well, how was your communication corrupted? Sin corrupted your communication. But when you get born again, you can't speak like you did before you knew Christ. If necessary, God will take a hot coal and clean it up, just like he did to Isaiah. Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. That word hearken means listen. God is talking to people who are pursuing righteousness. You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock where you are hewn. Did you know that you are hewn from his rock? You're made in his image and his likeness. Woo! You are God's kids. You look like him. You sound like him. You act like him. You're made in God's image and in his likeness. He breathed his very breath inside of you to become a living being. And to the hole of the pit where you are digged. Aren't you glad that you're not in the pit that you once were? Praise God, he took me out of the pit. He brought me out of the miry clay. I was slipping, sliding. I wasn't going anywhere until he put me on a rock. Whoo! Verse 2. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. What does God want to do for you? He wants to bless you, and he wants to increase you, but what's your part? Verse 1 says to follow after what? Listen, if you want to follow after righteousness, you'll be blessed and you'll increase. Our part is to follow after righteousness. His part is to do the blessing and the increasing. So we're here tonight to pursue righteousness. Do what is right in God's sight. Do what is right when no one else is looking. Because there's always one person who's looking. His name is God. And he sees everything. He knows everything. And there's nothing hidden from him. So if nothing's hidden from him, you might as well just do right. Amen? You might as well pursue righteousness, holiness, godliness. These are qualities, these are characteristics that we can have in our life, but we got to pursue it. We got to chase after it. We got to follow it. We got to search for righteousness. We got to dig for righteousness. Do you realize righteousness is more valuable than silver? It's more costly than gold? Righteousness is an eternal quality. Heaven and earth will pass away, but righteousness is going to be here forever. Righteousness is a worthy pursuit. And part of this word pursuit means to search. We're going to do some searching tonight. You ready to do some searching? Laura Bagby said this, God wants us to pursue him actively and relentlessly, just as he actively and relentlessly pursues us. Oh, we think we found God. No, God found you. He came to seek and save that which was lost. How many has ever lost something before? How do you look for it? Okay, let's say you want to come to church tonight and you only have one set of keys and you can't find them. Tell me how you look for your keys. You know, you have an intensity about you. You have an urgency about you. And you're looking through everything. You're going where you went. You're actively searching out to where those keys are until you find them. Guess what? That's how we have to be with God. See, now, God's not hiding, but see, faith is an action, okay? And the act of faith is to pursue, to go after. That's the action that we take to go after God, okay? Now, this word search, you know, Moses sent out some spies to what? Search out the land. God told Moses what the land was like, didn't he? But he still wanted Moses to go and see it for himself. So he sent some spies out, and they searched out the land, and they brought back some fruit. What did the search result in? The search proved that what God said was true. And if you search for God, you're going to find out that what he said is true. Okay? To search means to investigate carefully. It means to examine with a view of giving a full and accurate report. Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is the main course for tonight. I just whet your appetite with that, but now we're going to get to the main course. John chapter 5 and verse 36. I want you to see something here. Excuse me. Jesus is talking here, and he said, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do. What works did Jesus do? Where did the works that Jesus did come from? So, who's going to guide you in your work? If Jesus was doing the Father's work, how much more should we be doing the Father's work for us? Is Jesus our example? And notice the goal was to finish the work. Don't think you're checking out of this life early until your work is done. Focus on getting the job done that God called you to do. And don't focus on leaving until your part is done, until you can finish your course with joy. Amen? Okay. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which has sent me, verse 37, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time. He's talking to a group of people here. He's talking to a group of religious leaders here. He's telling them that they never heard his voice at any time. Does God have a voice? Is his voice hard to hear? Sometimes it's a still small voice. Who can hear God's voice? The Bible said, call on me and I will answer you. Anybody who calls on God, is calling a pursuit? When you call someone, do you have to pick up the phone, you have to dial the number or push a button to call them, you are taking an action. And when you take an action towards God, he'll give you a response. The reason they didn't hear his voice, because they weren't pursuing him. We're going to see a little bit more about this. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Notice verse 38. You have not his word abiding in you. He told them that their word wasn't abiding in them. Like the food that you ate today, it abided in you for some time. It hung out with your digestive juices. And the food hangs out there until all the good is taken out and all the things that are unnecessary are passed on through. See, the problem, part of abiding in God is to pursue him. See, people don't want to wait on God anymore. What happens when you wait on God? You what? You get renewed strength. So if you're feeling run down, take some time and wait on God, actively pursuing him. The wait that it's talking about is not sitting and doing nothing, but it's actively serving God. It's like a waiter in a restaurant. They keep coming back to the table. Can I get you something? Would you like some more coffee? Would you like some fries with that? Can I get you that? You know, the waiter is actively serving the table. That's what it means to wait on God. Those are the people. The people who are actively serving are the ones who get their strength renewed, not the people who do nothing. So this group of people, they never see... If they got in, the Bible is God's voice. The Bible is God talking to you. And if you simply get in the Word, you're going to hear God's voice. Amen. You got these people that say, I want a word, I want a word. Here's a bunch of them. Why don't you do this first before God speaks to you in any other way? Problem is, you don't want to do the Word. You want some supernatural experience, some spectacular experience. But you know what? Our God is simple. The primary way that God revealed himself was through the Word. And if you want to learn about God, get in the Word and let the Word get in you. See, they never heard God's voice. They didn't have his Word abiding in them. And notice, for whom he... Look at the last part of that verse. How did they believe? They didn't believe. Well, It makes a lot of sense. If you can't hear his voice, and if you're not in the Word, you're certainly not going to believe. Because how does faith come? By hearing the Word. So if they didn't hear his voice, and if they didn't abide in the Word, they're certainly not going to believe. And if you can't believe, you're not pursuing God. Believers pursue God. That's how they came to believe. You were in a place where you heard God's word. And see, the beauty of God's word is it can be anywhere. And Jesus was telling these people, did you know that a simple pursuit can make a great difference in your life? A simple pursuit can mean the difference of life or death. Revelation 2 and 3 tells us every time it spoke to the churches, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, let him hear. The only people who can't hear what God is saying are the ones who resist the Holy Spirit. But those things are necessary in order to pursue God. This group of people that he was talking to, they weren't pursuing God. They were pursuing something other than God. You're not going to find God in religion. God didn't come to earth to establish a religion. He came to build a relationship that was broken. What was the relationship? God and man were walking together in the cool of the day in the garden. There was intense fellowship. There was intimacy. There was a mutual exchange. There was sharing that took place. That's the kind of things that God wants. What Jesus did restored what Adam lost. You can now, today, walk with God in the cool of the day. Why does he walk in the cool of the day? Because God is cool. He's the most coolest person you'll ever hang out with. You will never find anybody so fun, so exciting, so interesting, so personable than God. And we are blessed to be able to have this type of relationship with God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 7 through 12. I feel the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. If anything, I want you to leave here tonight being inspired to go after God, knowing that you're going to get something out of it. I'm going to tell you something. You just don't pursue God for vain things. No, there are great riches and great treasures and great discoveries to be made just for someone to go after God. God is just looking for a man who will go after him, who will stand up for him, who will converse with him, who will press in to his presence. All you got to do is be hungry. Listen, hungry people show up to the table. If you're hungry and there's food, all you got to do is just show up at the table and partake. 1 Peter verse 7. No, that doesn't seem right. Well, let's go to, let's put 1 Peter on hold for a minute, and let's go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Is praise a pursuit? Do you have to do something to praise? And you know, the closer you get to God, the more your whole being gets involved in praise. You get your body involved, You get your mouth involved, you get your mind involved, you get your soul involved, and your soul, your spirit, soul, and body are all clicking together, praising God. Praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord. How? How many times have we tried to do something to God half-heartedly? You know, if only half your heart is involved in something, you're not really pursuing it. Because when you pursue something, it takes everything to go after. You know, like, you ever see dogs chase a car? They don't trot after that car, you know? When that, they're like full stride going after that car. You've got to go after God full stride. Okay? Wholeheartedly. In the assembly of the upright. Guess what? You're in the assembly of the upright tonight. And in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure thereon. Okay? You've got to, another version says, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Is study a pursuit? Do you have to do some things to study? You know, I always marveled at the people that never had to study. There are some people that, but you know what they do? They don't study because they learn from listening. And they're sitting there intense. And you can't break their focus, because if you break their focus while they're listening, they won't learn. But they're good listeners, because then they retain it. But they're studying while they're listening. Just because you don't have to read a book. Listen, we all learn differently. Learn to accept people's differences in the way they learn. We're all different. Celebrate your differences. If we were all the same, God would be boring, but he's not. Go to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. Verse 1. We're going to read through verse 5. My son, notice how he says this. If you will receive my words. Is there some effort involved in receiving his words? You know, there's just as much as receiving a letter from someone. You got to go to the mailbox and get the letter, or you got to go to your computer and you got to click something. Your email just doesn't open up automatically. You got to do something to receive the message. The doing something is the pursuit. If you will receive my words, not everybody receives his words. Not every believer receives his words. How do we know? Because their results show that they're not receiving his words. Some people have their own thoughts or their own ideas on how things should be or how things should come about. If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you. Well, does it take some effort to hide something? So that, verse 2, you incline your ear unto wisdom. To incline means to get closer. Say, excuse me, but what'd you say? Could you say that again, please? That sounded so good. Could you just say it one more time, please? You know, when someone says something good to you, you want to hear it again, don't you? Like when we get into an argument and the other person says you're right. You say it again. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who's right. What matters is that you settle the argument. Okay, incline your ear to understanding, and then what? Apply your heart. When you fill out an application, do you have to do something? How many just got a job without ever filling out an application? Or you had a recommendation? Someone pointed you in the right direction, right? You've got to apply your heart To what? Understanding. It's going to take some application for you to do something with God's word. When you hear God's word, you're going to have to apply your heart to understand it, because if you don't understand it, you can't operate in it. You cannot operate a machine you don't understand how to work it. That's why they have driver's ed, to help people understand the rules of the road. Verse 3. If you cry after knowledge, is that an action? And lift up your voice for understanding. You know, I think of Bartimaeus. He was blind. He couldn't see, but he could hear and he could speak. And he heard that Jesus was walking by, and he just didn't sit there quiet, silent. What did he do? He began to cry out. Was his cry answered? Do you realize if he wouldn't have cried out, Jesus would have passed him by? But Jesus, I'm sure Jesus saw that he was blind, but that's not the point. The point is, he had to cry out for it. The point is, he had to go after it. The point is, he had to pursue it. And too many people, they're like this. They're having a parade of miracles, and they're watching the miracles go by. Not saying anything, not doing anything, and the miracles are passing you by. Do you realize that the most simplest action could release the greatest power? Woman with issue of blood, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Well, that's just too easy. Well, it worked for her. See, why do we want to make things so complex? Huh? I gotta finish. Verse 4. If you seek after her as silver, where do you find silver? How do you extract silver? Oh, you mean you got to take a pick or some dynamite? Give me some dynamite. Listen, the Holy Spirit's like dynamite. He can expedite things. But you still got to light the fuse. How do you light the fuse of the Spirit? With faith. Faith ignites the wick. And he's got the power within to handle the situation. Listen, the Holy Spirit dynamite can clear the junk out of the way to get to the treasure. He can blow the devil out of the water. He can remove that mountain that's been in your way. That is, if you got to seek her as silver. You got to, you know, silver just is not like, you got to look for it. You got to pursue it. You got to go after it. And search for her as for hid treasures. Verse 5. Then, when you pursue, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. The Bible said we can understand the knowledge of God. The Bible said we can understand the fear of the Lord. You can understand it after you do some pursuing, after you do some searching, after you do some seeking, after you do some chasing after. Listen, yeah, we're all in a race, but God's got prizes. All you got to do is run. Run to win. We looked at that last week. You got time for two more? Yes. Go to Proverbs 4. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore what? How do you get something? Hey, Nate, give me those Kleenexes right there. See, you had to do something. You had to pursue it. You had to reach out and grab it, and you had to bring it here. See, because Nate's obedient, he's going to get a reward. Now, Nate could have said, I don't have to get the Kleenex tomorrow. He's crazy getting rid of the Kleenexes. But isn't that what we do with God when he gives us a simple instruction? Go call that person. I don't have to call that person. I don't want to go call that person. Just do it. Just pursue. You won't get rewarded unless you do. Get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Get it. Come and get it. You want God? Come and get it. Come and get him. Ding, ding, ding. I wish I had one of those dinner bells. Ding, ding, ding. Come and get it. My goodness. Do you realize you have a part to play in the miracles that happen in your life? What if Zacchaeus wouldn't have climbed that tree when Jesus was walking by? What if Mary wouldn't have gone to that house and anointed him with that oil? What if Peter would have just kept on washing his nets when he said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men? What if he'd have thought his business was more important than eternal things? What if Jesus would have never left heaven? We'd all be in a heap of mess. We wouldn't be here today. No, not one of us. If Jesus would have never pursued us, we would have been done a long time ago. Because sin got down to 8 people in the days of Noah. 8 people left in the world. When sin is left unchecked, it will destroy you. Stop sinning. Part of pursuing God is turning from unrighteousness and turning to what is right. Are you guys ready to pursue God? God's got some things for you. But how are you going to attain it? What are you going to do to get it? Amen? I think we should praise the Lord a little bit. I think we should worship the Lord a little bit. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know it's in the middle of the week. But I'll tell you what, God shows up on Wednesday too. Besides, he shows up on every day. Amen? God is already here. His word said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's right here to do what you need to do in your life. Whatever you need done in your life, he's here to do it. But you got to pursue it. You got to go after it. You got to chase it. You got to search for it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the Rhema word and the Logos word, the spoken and the written word in the name of Jesus. It produces life. It changes things in Jesus' name. So if you need something from God tonight, why don't you just come up here and let's worship the Lord a little bit. Whatever you need. Who needs healing in their body? Come up here right now. There was a man who needed healing, and there'd be an angel that come down and stir up the waters. I think the waters are stirred up tonight. Amen? You came in sick, you're going to leave whole. That's a pretty good exchange, isn't it? Your leg?
It's messing me up.
Well, God's going to fix you up. Father, we thank you right now for your precious, holy anointing in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. The anointing destroys the yoke and removes the burden. Right now, I command the yoke of this sickness to go, the pain to leave his body in Jesus' name, and strength and life to come in Jesus' name. No longer will you be hindered from what you couldn't do. You are a can-do person because God strengthens you in Jesus' name. You can do what you couldn't do. Be healed and whole in Jesus' name. Father, just cover him right now with grace.